There are teams, though, that have money that could spend for running back.
Okay. Go on.
Bucks would be one. Oof. Texans would be one. What about the Lions? They've had running back issues.
He's a Michigan guy.
So Ian Rapoport, who has been kind of a Texans whisperer so far in this young offseason, just threw out the Texans as one of the teams in pursuit of Le'Veon Bell. And to be fair, I don't think that was a report as to them being interested. That was just a team. That was basically, hey, here are the teams who have the cap space and the funds to be able to sign Le'Veon Bell.
When are you going to learn to hype stuff up a little bit? Well, Mike, this is Ian Rapoport, the guy who basically called out the Carl Smith hire at quarterback. Ian Rapoport obviously has ties to the Texans organization. This is where I go with it. The fact that he would casually toss the Texans' hat into the ring at all makes me feel like maybe it's more of a possibility than we had thought before. Which I am all for, not because I think it would be a smart move, but it's kind of like if you found out your mom was going to marry Mel Gibson. You're like, all right, I don't think this is really a good move in the long term, but it might be a whole lot of fun along the way. There's going to be some benefits. There will probably be some drawbacks, maybe some angry voicemails left drunkenly at 2 a.m., maybe a little embarrassment for the family. But is there any chance at all that Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain are like, you know what, we like the culture here, and we think Le'Veon Bell will be just fine, and any of these other issues he had with his own teammates or anything, we feel with a fresh start and a new beginning, it's worth this. It's worth paying Le'Veon Bell a good chunk of money.
Okay, so
are you saying no chance at all?
No, I'm not saying no chance.
Okay.
I wouldn't say no chance. I think there's a chance of it. I don't think that it will happen. I don't think it should happen, but do I think there's a chance? Yes.
Is it noteworthy that you have two people at ESPN in prediction articles that are saying the Texans will go after Le'Veon Bell? First it was Dan Graziano, and now it's Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for ESPN.com as well.
Are they doing it in like wacky prediction type mode?
It's another bold prediction kind of piece.
It's not like a report, right?
It's not a report, but
it is.
It's
worth noting that is, the Texans are a team where people look at it, and you try to look at it from the outside perspective. All right, this is a team that could use Le'Veon Bell. You could use him as a slot receiver. You could use him out of the backfield. You could use him in all these different capacities, and it would bring an element of playmaking that they don't have right now. This is the one thing that concerns me is the Texans already, like, they've got enough. I feel like they've got enough stars at the top. I agree with Michael Lombardi when he says they need a bunch of good starters.
Yes.
Like, they need a bunch of good, solid dudes that might make one Pro Bowl in their career. You know, like on that off year where maybe somebody else got injured and the Texans have a good offense and then this offensive line makes the Pro Bowl. I want a bunch of guys like that. Like starter plus. Not all pro, just pretty damn good player. And if one of these young tight ends develops into that. At the same time, if they have the cap space and if Le'Veon Bell doesn't get what he wants, there's an element of electricity that Le'Veon Bell could bring to the team that under the right circumstances, I'd be excited as hell about it. And it might be ill-advised or misguided by me, but he brings something that they simply do not have right now.
Well, I have thought at times in the last 3 years that when he's on, I know he didn't play this year, but that Le'Veon Bell is the best running back in the NFL. Certainly the most well-rounded running back in the NFL, because what he's able to do in both the running game and the passing game. So I think, like, at his ceiling, Bell is a guy who solves a lot of issues for you, that he's a guy who runs the ball well, who's an easy outlet for your quarterback, who takes up so much of the offense that you don't need like 7 or 8 really good players to have a functional offense. That he does so much on his own that he's like a boat that lifts everybody else, or tie that lifts all the boats.
Can he make the offensive line better? That I think is the biggest question.
He can. The question is, would he with this offensive line?
Because what you just said, Mike, I don't agree with it in that he was playing on offense that had all of those other guys. Like, and it's hard to isolate, okay, is it Antonio Brown? Is it Juju Smith-Schuster? Is it Le'Veon Bell? Is it that incredible offensive line? Is it Ben Roethlisberger?
Too.
All those things. This is what I worry about with Le'Veon Bell. And again, I'm kind of waffling here because if the Texans signed him, I would actually be genuinely excited about it, even though I might have some trepidation. But the thing I worry about with Le'Veon Bell is, okay, you take, look at that, sick of this. A talented player who's playing amongst a bunch of other really good talent to the point where he looks like one of the best of the league. You know what that sounds like to me? Le'Veon Bell sounds like an extreme version of Aaron Colvin, where Aaron Colvin is playing slot cornerback in Jacksonville, and he's the best in the league, but he's also playing with two of the best cornerbacks on the outside in the league. And all of a sudden he gets to Houston, and my God, Mike, we barely mention Aaron Colvin. Aaron Colvin might have been the worst free agency signing in the league last year. And only part of it could be due to injury because he was playing poorly before he actually got injured. He had like two good games and then two where he dropped off the face of a cliff and then he got injured. I don't want 2 years in a row of a guy that comes in at a good contract and then is a complete disappointment. So that's my biggest fear.
I actually disagree with you on this substantively.
On Aaron Colvin?
The comparison, not how Colvin's season went. Aaron Colvin, to me, in Jacksonville, was a guy who was playing with big-time players, and thus he looked better. I think Le'Veon Bell is a big-time player, also playing with a lot of big-time players.
I feel the same way.
This is why, actually, unrelated to the Texans, I think the Jets should sign Le'Veon Bell because I think he would solve a lot of issues for them.
The Jets are Mike. I know you're a Jets fan. You got to be careful about this. The Jets are an abject disaster right now.
I didn't say they weren't a disaster.
Their coaches hate each other already, and this is before they've even had any disagreements. And
they might not even have met yet.
The head coach had to hire Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator's son, against his own will. Then he goes out and hires Joe Vitt, who hates Greg Williams. It's a big old mess. But now, everything we just said again, I feel like the rest of the Pittsburgh Steelers is justifiably PO'd that Le'Veon Bell is being treated like he was the key to that offense or something. When, if you look at James Conner, this is what I did this weekend. I went back and I said, in my mind, Le'Veon Bell is way better than James Conner. So I went back and I watched a bunch of James Conner and I watched a bunch of Le'Veon Bell. And honestly, the best conclusion I came to is that Le'Veon Bell is a better athlete than James Conner, but not by much. And then I'm not so sure he's actually all that much better than James Conner. What I see on their best runs is a whole lot of really, really good blocking. You go back to 2017, and you can talk about, well, Le'Veon Bell is actually more electric out of the backfield. Le'Veon Bell, compared to other running backs, when he aligns as a slot and in other scenarios, isn't actually nearly as dynamic as, say, a Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara, a lot of those other players. So I think Alvin Kamara is very much a product of the Pittsburgh Steelers system.
You mean Le'Veon Bell?
Le'Veon Bell, excuse me. Le'Veon Bell is very much a product of the system, alongside his own natural talent. But I'll guarantee you right now, wherever he goes this offseason, there's a 90% chance he never replicates the success he had in Pittsburgh.
All right, Mike, Seth, and Paul, we're discussing the possibility of Le'Veon Bell to the Texans. Seth has some skepticism. I am also very skeptical. I admit, if they signed him, I would get excited, though.
Does he have to replicate the level of success that he had in Pittsburgh to merit the signing? Because
yes,
going to have to overpay for him. But Definitely. If you have multiple running backs, you are using Le'Veon Bell. I'm assuming if you keep Lamar Miller around, like 15, 16 touches a game, because they'll still use Lamar Miller from some aspect. I feel that you don't necessarily need to have the same Le'Veon Bell that you had in Pittsburgh. You need to have a good option at running back that can do multiple things for you, which you don't have in Lamar Miller right now. You have a running back who is essentially not a threat at all in the passing game, either because the Texans don't feel that he can be that or because he simply can't be that. Well, he's essentially from time to time a check down target, but that's really it.
Because the question becomes, all right, why are you paying for a running back? So if you're like, why are you paying for a running back when so many teams seem to be doing well with guys in the second through fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, including Le'Veon Bell, who's a second rounder, in like the historical issues with signing a free agency running back, that's just money I'd rather spend elsewhere.
I understand
then,
that.
If he doesn't come in and he's not as electric as he was in Pittsburgh, then you took a running back that's had a lot of mileage already, and for what reason?
But here's why it's different than Colvin. What's the worst case scenario if you bring in Bell? What's the minimum expectation? Is he going to be bad? You know, I can't see him coming in here and being like Aaron Colvin, where he's completely lost at times, or at least appears to be completely lost at times. I think you bring him in, yeah, you're overpaying. Yeah, he might not be the same player, but at the same time, you're getting an above average, bare minimum running back, and you need that right now. You have one running back who is a plus player, and he's barely a plus player in Lamar Miller.
I think the fear would be that Bell would be a fine player. The fear would be Bell being a fine player, but being in a situation where he can't overcome the offensive line enough to be one of the best running backs in the league, and that Indianapolis gets the same exact production that you get from Le'Veon Bell with guys who are making the league minimum.
But go back to his rookie year where he averaged like 3.5 yards a carry and he just wasn't an effective guy before he lost all that weight. You could get that Le'Veon Bell.
Granted, but I mean, if you go after a running back in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, what are the odds he's Tyler Irvin again? I mean, you don't, just because Alvin Kamara was found in the third round does not mean that you can find a guy like that.
Right,
no?
But this is like your strategy moving, like your strategy in free agency simply can't be, hey, let's take a guy and overpay for mediocre production.
But
and
if you're not assuming mediocre production.
No, 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 but the question becomes with Le'Veon Bell, what are the likelihoods, if you're talking about running backs who traditionally as free agent signings have been huge disappointments except for a few exceptions here and there, let's look at all the other things stacking up against Le'Veon Bell. So you already start off with that just by virtue of the position he plays. Then you look at the drug suspensions. Then you look at the fact that he's had issues with his teammates. You look at all these other questions. He's not that good a rapper, frankly. I've listened to his rap. It's not that good. Not even as good as DJ Merciless from the Texans. So that's where it all stacks up against him. Having said that, I think it would be a blast. I would criticize it, but at the same time, inwardly, I'd be like, oh boy, this could work out really well. I hope I'm an idiot on this one.